As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show, Big Friday Show. We've got Lincoln Riley, the head coach of the Oklahoma Sooners. He's been the head coach four seasons. He's won four Big 12 titles. He's been to the college football playoff three times. He's doing all right there. That is the best job in the Big 12, as I decided in my argument with Ari Wasserman on Monday. Some of you have disagreed with that, but I think that the more rational, sane people understand that you want to work at the place where everybody's aligned, where everybody's trying to help you in. And people thought I was bagging on Texas and saying that Texas is a terrible job. It's not. It's still a really good job. It's just that there are impediments to you reaching the potential you can reach because you have an administration that does not always help. And you saw this again with the Eyes of Texas thing. They released the 57-page report on the history of the song. And my takeaway on that, and I wrote a column for The Athletic this week about it, is you play the song, but don't make anybody stand there for it. Don't suggest, as Steve Sarkisian did, that you're going to make anybody stand there for it, because there's a good reason why some people on your team don't want to stand there for it. And you can't force someone to feel the way you feel about a song. You just can't. And to his credit, Jay Hartzell, the president at Texas, said that they're not going to make anyone stand there. Now, he may want to pass that message along to Steve Sarkisian, who I'm sure will be glad to hear it, because I don't think he wants to talk about that with recruits. I don't think he wants recruits saying, are you going to make me sing that song? Because I guarantee you that is what coaches that recruit against Texas are telling them. They're saying, they're going to make you sing the song, you know. And Jay Hartzell says that's not what's going to happen. So with any luck, that will be the end of that. But that's yet another example of an issue that just gets in Texas's way. And I think if they ever find a way to stop having those types of issues, then yes, they can work toward their potential. And yes, they can be a national title contending type team. But you've got to get through that stuff first. But at least they're not Kansas. That would be the worst situation. When we talked with Matt Fortuna on Tuesday, Kansas had parted ways with Les Miles. When we recorded the episode, Jeff Long had not had his press conference yet. That press conference was, it was bad. And Jeff Long, the AD, said that he would be the one to hire the next coach. Well, after that very poor performance in that press conference, he apparently was called by the chancellor and told, no, you will not be hiring the next coach. Jeff Long out as the athletic director at Kansas. He's going to get a $1.375 million parting gift on the way out the door, which is, it's nice work if you can get it. If you can be so incompetent that you get yourself fired in that fashion and still get that kind of money out the door, it's a pretty good deal. And the original sin of Jeff Long at Kansas wasn't necessarily the hiring of Les Miles. It was the firing of David Beatty and then the decision that he was going to stiff David Beatty on his buyout. And this is the one where I just questioned, what's he thinking? Why is he doing this? Is he okay? Because the brilliant idea that Jeff Long had to get rid of David Beatty and not pay him was he was going to tell the NCAA that David Beatty had analyst coaching, which is against NCAA rules, but everybody in America does it. And unfortunately for Jeff Long, the staff he'd hired was doing it. And during a deposition, he was shown photos of coaches on the new Kansas staff, or analysts on the new Kansas staff, coaching the players, and then realized, oh, the jig is up. I can't stiff David Beatty on his buyout. They settled. Beatty got about what he was going to get anyway. Kansas spent a bunch of money in legal fees. And oh, by the way, cherry on top of that one, which feeds into the controversy this week, when Jeff Long was asked about the other coaches he interviewed for the opening, he couldn't remember anybody's name. He said, Todd Graham or Todd Grantham? Well, Todd Graham and Todd Grantham are two different people. Todd Graham is the former Arizona State coach who now coaches Hawaii. Todd Grantham is Florida's defensive coordinator. Don't look or sound anything alike. And then he said, some guy who worked for the LA Rams. Well, that's Jed Fish, who's currently the Arizona head coach. And then he goes, I'm going to forget his name again, the Cincinnati Bengals defensive coordinator. That would be Lou Anarumo. How do you not remember people you interviewed a few months earlier for a multi-million dollar job? How do you not remember that? Because you didn't want to hire them. You weren't interested in the interview. You were going to hire Les Miles all along. And that's part of the problem and probably part of the reason why Kansas did not vet Les Miles very well. So Jeff Long is out. We'll see who they hire as the athletic director. The chancellor says that is the person who will hire the next football coach. They're not going to go the Ole Miss route when they fired Pete Boone and Houston Nutt at the same time and then hired Hugh Freeze first and Ross Bjork later to be the AD. They're going to do what Tennessee did and then UCF did because Tennessee did it to them, where you go AD first, then the coach. So we will see what that winds up being, but just a complete mess at Kansas. And I cannot believe Les Miles got almost $2 million and Jeff Long got $1.375 million to go away. Both of them had demonstrated that they should be fired for cause. Kansas just wasted that money. But, you know, after Jeff Long's performance in that one deposition, I don't know if you want to go to court again over buyouts because that turned out very badly for Kansas last time. Although with Jeff Long on the other side of it, I think maybe it would have turned out better for Kansas. So we'll see what happens. Other news that I found very interesting this week. Press release before the Big Ten basketball tournament game between Michigan State and Maryland. Michigan State's basketball team heretofore will be known as the MSU Spartans presented by Rocket Mortgage. Dan Gilbert, the owner of Quicken Loans and Rocket Mortgage, is a Michigan State grad, so I get that part. But I just they got clowned all day during the game. And it was just, you know, they need points. And how much do those points lower their interest rates? And very bad mortgage humor, but it's just not good. It sounds terrible. It doesn't roll off the tongue. I'm hoping if they do this for the football team that they do something a little bit different, maybe go a little bit local, maybe go with the Peanut Barrel, home of the Rodeo Burger, or maybe they go to Joe's Gizzard City in nearby Potterville. They will deep fry literally anything. It's a favorite spot of the Michigan State offensive line. I think that would be a good sponsor, but you know the basketball team lost, so you're not going to have any more mortgage jokes until basketball season starts next year. Though it got me thinking that, you know, if they're going to do this, and look, I don't have a problem with the schools doing this as long as they make these NIL rules that are going to allow the players to do the same thing. So if you want to have the MSU Spartans presented by Rocket Mortgage, I want Michigan State's quarterback to get that Bang Energy sponsorship or whatever it is, whoever wants to sponsor the guy. So I'm fine with it, but it got me thinking about other teams and football teams that could do the same thing. And, you know, we got to have the Alabama Crimson Tide presented by Golden Flake. I mean, Bear Bryant used to eat Golden Flake potato chips on his coach's show. This is a completely natural fit. Florida State, Spanx. The Florida State Seminoles presented by Spanx. Spanx founder Sarah Blakely is a proud Florida State grad. Now, there may be some issues with the Nike sponsorship, but I think, you know, listen, Spanx could definitely make the uniform pants. They would be, you know, very snug. The thigh pads, the butt pads, the knee pads would never move. Be perfect. Ball State, Worldwide Pants Incorporated, obviously. What is Worldwide Pants? They don't make pants. It's David Letterman's production company. Of course, David Letterman, your most famous graduate of Ball State University. And then the Texas Longhorns, we talked about them earlier. Franklin Barbecue. It's not an Austin institution because it hasn't been open long enough to be considered an institution, but it is still the best brisket on earth. And it works very well for the Longhorns because when you get it, when it all clicks, when it's right there in front of you, when you finally get it in your mouth, it's awesome. But you have to wait and wait and wait and wait. It's a perfect sponsor. Speaking of the Longhorns and their rival in the Red River rivalry, the Oklahoma Sooners continue to do very well. Now, this was a year when Oklahoma won the Big 12, did not make the college football playoff. Very interesting recruiting strategy by Oklahoma this year. You've seen different coaches take different tacks in this post-COVID year where you have your super seniors coming back. You're going to have an older team. You also have potential transfers that you can take that have 4 years of eligibility remaining. The Sooners hit the mother load at Tennessee, taking a few players who were leaving Tennessee, and it looks like those guys probably will be able to contribute immediately to Oklahoma, and then added some really good high school recruits who they had targeted and said, these are our guys, and if we get them, great, and if we don't, well, we can pull some guys out of the portal. But they got most of what they wanted, and then they went into the portal. It's going to be a really interesting year in Norman. Year two is the starter for Spencer Rattler. I think the expectations are at least a Big 12 title, go back to the playoff, and this time, get to the title game. Here's me and Lincoln Riley. Joined now by the head coach of the Oklahoma Sooners, Lincoln Riley. He's in his palatial office with the beautiful natural light. And it was interesting, Lincoln, because I was re-listening to your National Signing Day press conference, and you were talking about the difference in recruiting transfers versus recruiting high school kids. And you said, oh, the transfers aren't worried about all this facilities stuff. And all this. You got this beautiful facility, and now you got all these guys that just want to come win football games, and that's all they're worried about. How does that work? Is it really that different with a kid coming out of high school and a guy who's maybe played at another Power Five school?
Oh, it's totally different. You know, and every kid individually is looking, you know, for different things and has different priorities. But no, it's certainly, you can feel that these guys have been through the recruiting process and they understand. They maybe have, I think at that point, just a clearer picture of what they're looking for. I think a lot of times high school players, and you understand that they've never been through something like this, but don't even necessarily know what they're looking for and what truly is going to be important. And you know, if you get a guy that's transferring, he's leaving somewhere for a reason. And so for us, it's been, you know, can we be the group that maybe, you know, is able to fill that and be the group that can provide, you know, whatever it is that they think that they weren't getting at another place, whether it's coaching, whether it's opportunities, play at a high level, winning championships, whatever it is. And then if it's a fit for us, fit for them, then here we go.
I'm curious because there's some situations that are kind of unique to this year where you can take a transfer who played last year who has 4 years of eligibility left. I think Keyshawn Lawrence who you took from Tennessee is one of those guys. Is that like almost like getting a high school guy who just happens to have the college experience?
Yeah, no, I think it is. There's certainly some benefits to it. Again, I think it's got to be the right guy and the right fit. But no, it is. I mean, a guy that's had that experience and you know, players now have the ability to take advantage of this COVID waiver. And so in a way, you know, for those guys that year did not even count. And, you know, a guy like Keyshawn, you know, was great for us because, you know, we already knew the kid. You know, we recruited. Yeah. He came on a visit here. I mean, so it was almost like, it's almost like he took a 1 year hiatus and then came back to us. So it's a great situation, and you know, that's the way of the world. You get it. I certainly still hope that we can find a way to restrict that within the interconference. I still think we've got to protect the game and the integrity of the game and teams that you're playing every single year. I don't know that's going to be healthy for the game if all of a sudden we get a bunch of guys that aren't graduates that are transferring to the conference. So I hope that's something that, you know, that we'll continue to remain firm on. So we'll see how that part plays out, but no, I think it's a, something we've been excited about and worked out well for us this cycle.
Has it changed how you handle your recruiting operation? Are there, do you have people who are assigned to kind of watch other leagues, other players elsewhere who might be somebody that, that you could be interested in later? Cause it's a weird deal. You can't go contact them. They have to be in the portal. But once they hit the portal, you better know about them so that you can decide, is this someone we might be interested in or not?
We do. We've figured out that was going to be a tool that we were going to be able to use to build our roster. Doesn't mean that we'll necessarily use it every year on a certain number of people. I think every year is different and your needs are different and what's out there is different. But I think, it gives us an opportunity to keep tabs on some of the guys that we've recruited, just kind of, you know, loosely follow how their career goes. And then if, you know, they ever decide they want to make a change again, those are the ones that, you know, have tended to, you know, be the best for us. I mean, you look at Kyler Murray, you look at, you know, Keyshawn and Wanye this year. I mean, those are examples of guys that we recruited and knew, and this wasn't just something that a spur of the moment, you know, and just hoping this works, and we don't know their personality. They don't know our personality. So, we certainly have people that are paying attention to it, and we'll use it as needed.
I know you mentioned some of the guys you signed out of high school this year. The first time you actually met them or their parents in person was when they moved into campus. How tough is that? I mean, and then you mentioned Wanya and Keyshawn. You've actually met them. You've met their parents. Like, you're right. You had probably a deeper recruiting process with them than with some of the high school guys you signed.
Oh, absolutely. We without a doubt did. We were able to go, you know, to their schools, in some cases their homes. And I think we had two players that we signed here at midterm that we had never met. We had, I think, three players that we signed that came here midterm that the day they moved in was the first time they had ever been to Oklahoma in their lives. And so,
wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was a weird feeling. That move-in day, we had an event in our weight room. We were lucky we got a pretty big area, so we were able to have a, you know, masked, you know, all that type of event. But just to be able to see somebody or give them a hug or shake their hand almost felt wrong. It was weird not seeing them behind a recruiting, you know, behind a computer screen. But it was different for us, but it was definitely the most different for the recruits and families that just went through this. Cause I mean, those of us that have children, it's hard to imagine, you know, sending our child.
I can't even imagine the fear of sending my kid to a place I've never been, they've never been, with people I've only seen on a computer screen.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of the guys that we ended up taking that were in that situation, there were mutual friends or people that knew us and what we were about that were maybe able to reassure them, you know, as far as what they were getting into. But no, you do. You appreciate their trust and in some ways blind faith in us.
We'll be right back after these words.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
You guys have used the transfer, you know, portal and even pre-portal really well, where you've been able to plug guys in. But I was looking at your defensive line depth this year. This is a case where you've got a bunch of guys back. I'm trying to think that this is probably as deep as I remember an Oklahoma defensive line being in recent years. How important is that, where you've got guys who've kind of developed through the program and now here they are, ready to play, ready to help you? Isaiah Thomas is a fifth year. I guess he's a fifth year junior now.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
But that's a guy who kind of worked his way through to become a really good player. How important is it to still have those guys in your program?
Oh, it's that'll always be a part of it. I mean, it's a huge part of it. Unfortunately, you don't get, you know, many guys like an Isaiah Thomas that are patient enough to, you know, maybe withstand that first couple of years where maybe I'm not playing as much, or maybe it's not the Hollywood beginning to my career that I hoped it would be. So you appreciate those guys, and I think they're absolutely necessary. And so, you know, for us, we don't ever want to get too far away from that. I mean, there's nothing that ever replaces developing a player in our program and then being built up, you know, from understanding our culture, our coaches, the way that we do things, the expectations, our standard here. IT is a great example. That as a whole has been a big key to our defensive line. I mean, we had the most productive defensive line in college football last year, and from top to bottom. And you don't do that with just one great player here and there. You know, you do that with like you said, quality depth and some explosive players. And so that's, that position in particular for us is a great example, and it's really become a strength of our football team.
So you look at the numbers since Alex Grinch got there, and they've gotten progressively better each of the 2 years he's been there. Is it schematic? Is it roster upgrade? Is it a mix of them? And how comfortable do you feel with where you're at roster wise on defense now?
Yeah. You know, it started off as culture, and then it started off some schematic as well. We had to change just the mindset of our defensive players and what it's like to play defense at Oklahoma. There's been some of the greatest defenses that have ever played this game have done it right here in Norman, Oklahoma. And there wasn't any reason in our mind why that couldn't and wouldn't happen again. And so we were able to put together a great defensive staff, had a lot of buy-in from our defensive players, especially our older guys, their year one, had some success. And then with that success comes the opportunity to recruit even better talent and to upgrade your roster. So, I mean, our roster defensively looks a lot different than it did 2 years ago. We're just able, you know, we're not having to go out and promise or sell hype right now. You know, it's not that we're going to do this, you know, some point down the road and it hasn't happened. Like, the proof is there, the development of all these positions of production. And now you can walk into any, you know, not walk into anybody's living room right now. You can jump on a Zoom call with
exactly
country and feel like, you've got a great product to put in front of them.
Now, this, I know your answer is going to be completely different than if I'd asked Bob Stoops this question 20 years ago, but what constitutes successful defense now in 2021?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question. I mean, as the game has changed and offenses have evolved, I think you're seeing particularly in this league that I think you got to continue to evolve defensively. I think just the ability to control football games. I think stats still tell some of the story. I mean, without a doubt, I mean, there's still some of the top defenses in the country that are holding people down and that are, you know, creating a lot of explosive plays. I think yards per play is still a very, very telling stat on just how dominant that you're playing. And then I think there's the eye test a little bit too, you know, and are you controlling football games? Are you playing dominant? Are you playing dominant defense and able to separate from people and able to create big plays as well on the defensive side of the ball? So, I think the answer is somewhere in the middle. I believe a little bit you're not going to hold anybody to so however many points anymore is a little bit of a cop out. Like, I mean, I think that's, you know, yeah, offenses have changed and some of the rules benefit offensive football. Yeah, they do. I mean, as an offensive coach, you love it, but I mean, for example, somebody that appreciates football, like, there's no way a lineman should be able to go 3 yards downfield and be able to throw a forward pass. Like, that makes no sense at all. But it's the way the rules are. It affects the game. But I still believe just the notion that all of a sudden, well, we can't hold anybody under this anymore. I mean, I don't totally believe that. I think you can still play great defense and play it at an elite level. And, you know, is it going to be 6 points a game? No, but I still believe – you know, you can really hold people down and dominate football games if you're good enough.
So Lincoln Riley wants the yardage moved back to one for the lineman downfield. The pop, that's the headline coming out of this, right? Who knew you and Nick Saban were on the same team?
Yeah, I know it. Most people wouldn't believe I would think that. But that, again, that's just more from an overall perspective of just like good for the game and like just how you think the rules of football should be. I'd love to see it, but we'll take advantage of it as long
as you do feel terrible for those safeties because see a lineman 3 yards down the field, you're coming downhill. I mean, come on.
Oh, everybody defensively. It's just when you sit back and think about the rules, that it should not be that way. I mean, it makes no sense, but that's what it is right now.
So when Alex gets there, does he ask you, "Hey, I need some help from you to practice this way," or can you give us these looks? How does that conversation take place? That has it evolve over the 2 years?
One thing, honestly, that Coach Stoops shared with me, when he left this job and I got this job, was that he always believed that, I would have a good feel for, what we needed offensively from a practice and preparation standpoint to be successful. And he encouraged me to really give, whoever the defensive coordinator was, a lot of leeway in how we practice and being able to accommodate those guys. And so that was something I shared with him as we visited about the job, was that I was going to give him a lot of input there, was really going to listen to his input and try to, tailor what we do to making us successful defensively. And I feel like we've done that. I think offensively we've been able to work around anything that we've needed defensively, and 95% of the time we can find something that certainly satisfies both needs. So, I give him a ton of input, our defensive staff a ton of input. And, if we ever get one of those where it kind of comes down that defense would rather do this, offense would rather do this, then we do what the defense wants to do.
And the offense usually on Saturdays does what it wants to do. But I wanted to ask you about Spencer's development, particularly Spencer Rattler, your quarterback. It felt, just from watching from afar, that there was sort of a light that flipped on after he was taken out of the Texas game and then put back in. And he just seemed like a different guy after that. Was there something else behind the scenes, or did we actually see that?
Well, I think it was that game obviously is always a big game, and it was an important moment. And I think, it kind of, his back was against the wall there a little bit, so to say. And I think just the way he responded and played after that was, I think, just a boost of confidence to do it. In that environment, when things haven't gone your way against a good opponent, to rally and play the way he did, I think certainly boosted his confidence. And I think just the confidence of our unit as a whole. He actually played better before that game than people probably remember. He played very well the first week. He was really good for the first three quarters of the Kansas State week. And then we as a team really, fell apart and didn't play very good there. He honestly played, other than the last play of the game, played lights out against Iowa State the very first time. We, I think, dropped three touchdown passes, did not play very well around him. But he had played pretty well, but obviously we as a team weren't playing the way we wanted to, and offensively we weren't. And the quarterback's going to, carry some of the brunt of that. That's just the nature of the business. But I think the Texas win, just gave him an added boost of confidence. Was it an important moment because of his confidence? I think it was. That game is always can be a pivotal moment in a season. He was doing some pretty good things before that as well.
We'll be right back after these words. How different was that for you? Because Baker had played at Texas Tech and then sat for a year in the program, and Kyler had played at A&M and then Baker's backup, and then Jalen had played 3 years at Alabama, and here's Spencer. He's redshirted, but he's never really gotten to do this before.
Yeah, I think it just made my focus as far as preparing him a little bit different, whereas those other guys, you didn't have to, I say you didn't worry about it. I mean, you're always trying to improve everything, but you knew they had played and been in those situations. So maybe your focus was elsewhere. Whereas, for a guy like Spencer, I felt pretty good where he was as far as understanding our system and knowing what to do. So we spent a lot of time on game management and talking about, just managing his emotions and the different ebbs and flows of the college game. And tried to prepare him mentally as much as you can. I mean, nothing's like being in the fire, but it just changed the preparation of what we needed to do to get him ready to play. But it was that was fun, and I knew the whole. He felt like here the whole time he was going to play well, that it was inevitable. And he did that.
So before I let you go, I've always wanted to ask you this. Let's say one of your assistants brings you my huddle tape, or I'm a QB at your camp. How do I get an offer to play QB for the Oklahoma Sooners?
Ooh, you want me to
what
be
are you looking for?
You want me to be nice? You want me to be real?
Let's pretend I could actually play quarterback. I know I need to lose a little weight and mobility is an issue. Arm strength's an issue. Decision-making is horrible. We got all that, but yes, right. Let's imagine I'm a good high school quarterback.
What
does a good high school quarterback have to do to make Lincoln Riley go, yep, okay, I'm gonna offer that guy?
You know, honestly, for me, it's kind of two things. I mean, I think individually, you know, I think I've got to feel like you're a guy that could help us win a national championship. I mean, that is a national championship caliber quarterback, or not individually, just collectively as a group, as a leader. You know, I love guys that have already been successful and have that edge about them, that competitiveness that you feel like they can be that guy. And then I think individually, I mean, you know, we're looking for somebody that we think is capable of winning a Heisman Trophy. I mean, it's a high standard. I mean, it is. I mean, you feel like we can equip guys here to accomplish a lot of things. Now, does that mean every guy's going to win it? No. Is a guy winning a Heisman Trophy a goal of ours? No, it's not. But you want guys that if we do our job and surround them with the pieces we can, if we do our job in developing them and putting them in great situations schematically, that can achieve the very top of what you can in this game, first as a team and second as an individual. So it's high standards, you know, but the good thing is it eliminates a lot of guys pretty quickly and allows you to focus in on the guys you really believe in.
Well, I'm going to go throw in the backyard and I'll be ready when you're allowed to have camps again, I'll hit your camp up and I'll show you. I can do the Heisman thing. So
I'm ready for it. Let's do it.
All right. Lincoln Riley, thank you so much.
You got it, Andy. Thanks for having me.